I tried to tell Kim that the circle wasn't working, that she had to get out, but she wouldn't listen. I heard the frustration in his voice and his hands clenched into fists. She wouldn't listen to me. It frustrated you, I said. And when you changed, he nodded. It's how I came back from Nam. Everyone else in my platoon died but me. I knew the full moon was coming. I knew that I hated them, hated the soldiers who had killed my friends. When I changed, I started killing until there wasn't anyone left alive within maybe 2 miles. I stared at McFinn for a long moment. I believed that he was telling me the truth, that he didn't have much control, if any, over his actions when he transformed. Though it occurred to me that if he wanted someone dead, he could probably point his monster self in the right direction before he lost control. Note to self, do not cut McFinn off in traffic. All right, I said. Why come here? Why to Wolf Woods? Why not to one of the other stashes? He smirked at the flames. Where else would a werewolf run, Mr. Dresden? Someplace a little less freaking obvious, I shot back. McFinn shook his head. The FBI doesn't believe in werewolves. They aren't going to make the connection. Maybe, I conceded, but there are smarter people than the FBI looking for you now. I don't think you should stay here for long. McFinn glanced at me, then glanced around him, as though listening for pursuers. You might be right, he admitted, but I'm not going anywhere until my head stops spinning. You don't look so good either. I'll make it, I said. All right, then. How did you know Kim Delaney? From her activist functions, I assume? McFinn's face went pale at the mention of her name, but he nodded. Originally, we came to know of her talents about a year ago. She told us how you were helping her control her abilities. She was helping me, indirectly, with the Northwest Passage Project. Then last month, I asked her for help. Why did you do that? McFinn glanced warily at Tara and then back at me. Someone broke my circle. I hunkered down on my heels, resting my aching arm on my knees. Someone broke your circle? The one in the basement? Yes, McFinn said. I don't know who. I'm not home a lot. We found it broken when we went downstairs before moonrise last month. And you asked Kim to fix it? McFinn closed his eyes and nodded. She said she could. She told us she would be able to make a new circle, one that would keep me from... I chewed on my lip, and his voice trailed off. Last month, you were meeting with Marconi's business manager, right? Negotiations over the project? I didn't kill him, McFinn said quickly. He died the night after the full moon. I couldn't have made the change and done it then. The other two nights, I made sure I was well away from human beings. I didn't kill anyone the second two nights either. I was alone. Your fiancé could have done those killings, I said, and flicked a glare at Tara West. She glared at me for a moment, then looked away. She didn't, McFinn said, his tone cool. Let's go back a bit, I said. Someone messed up your circle. To do that, they would have to know about your curse, right? They would have to get into your house. So the question is, who could do those things? And then the question is, who would have done it, and why? McFinn shook his head. I don't know, he said. I just don't. I don't have much contact with the supernatural, Mr. Dresden. I keep my head down. I don't know anyone else who can make the change, except for her. He put his hand over that of the woman beside him. A suspicion took root in my mind, someplace dark and sneaky. I studied Tara as I spoke to McFinn. You want to hear a theory, I said. I didn't wait for him to answer. Presuming you're telling the truth, I figure someone else did the killings the night before the full moon, last month. Some gangsters in town. Then they made sure that you would be the one going berserk the next three nights by fucking up your circle. Why would they do that? McFinn asked. To set you up. They kill some people, maybe just for kicks, maybe for good reason, and then lay the blame at your feet. Someone like me, or the White Council comes poking around, they go straight to you. You're notorious, like a convicted felon. They find you over a body with a bloody knife, metaphorically speaking, and you're the one that burned at the stake. Literally. MacFin studied my face for a moment. Or you think there might be another reason. I shrugged. Maybe you are the killer. You could be trying to make it look like someone was setting you up to me in the council. The police can't prove shit against you under the mundane justice system, and using this deception clears you with the supernatural community. So you moan and pose and say, woe is me, I'm only the poor cursed guy. And meanwhile, a bunch of people end up dead. People who are standing in the way of you completing the Northwest Passage Project. MacFin showed me his teeth. You think the world wouldn't be better off without people like Marconi and his lick spittles? Good word, lick spittles, I replied, keeping my voice bland. That doesn't really concern me right now, MacFin. Men like Marconi know the risks and take their chances. What bothers me is that a bunch of other people are getting dead, and they don't really deserve it. Why would I be killing innocents? MacFin demanded, his voice growing tight, clipped. Innocents like Kim, I said. I'm a wizard, not a saint. I'm allowed to be vindictive. MacFin went pale and looked down. Maybe you're doing it as a smokescreen. Maybe you can't help it. Or hell, maybe you really are just a poor cursed guy and someone's using you like a puppet. There's no way for me to tell right now. Assuming I'm not lying, MacFin grated, who would have an interest in setting me up? I shook my head. That's the $3 million question. I'd say it was Johnny Marconi. He stands to benefit if you can't oppose his business interest in the Northwest. As I understand it, the Northwest Passage would pretty much put nails in the coffin of a lot of industry up in that direction. MacFin nodded grimly. It would. So that gives him a good motive. But how did he know about your curse? And how did he pull off ruining the circle? It doesn't sound like him. He would just have your brakes fail, or maybe arrange for you to meet a couple of big men in a dark alley. It's just his way. I shrugged. Who else will be doing it? Can you think of anyone? MacFin shook his head. I've always been lucky, been able to hold myself in, lock myself up, or been able to go far away, out into the wilds where no one would find me, so that when I changed, no one would be killed. That's why you were backing the Northwest Passage, I guessed. A place for you to go in safety when this full moon comes. A really big no-people zone. MacFin glanced aside at Tara, who was staring stoically into the distance. That and other reasons. His jaw tightened, and he looked back into the fire. You don't know what it's like, Mr. Dresden, to live with yourself. I rubbed at my mouth and chin with my good hand. I needed a shave. I studied MacFin and Tara together for a moment, trying to make up my mind. Was MacFin telling me the truth? Was he just a victim? Someone being used by a faceless villain still at large? Or was he lying to me? If he was lying, if all of this had been his design, what purpose would he have had in luring me out here? Killing me, of course. Getting rid of the only wizard who could pen up his monstrous form. That was, after all, what he would have done if I hadn't been able to shock him silly. What would he gain by removing me if I never stood in his way in the first place? Careful, Harry. Don't want to get too paranoid. Not everyone is planning and plotting and lying, but I had to wonder about Tara West. A nasty scenario was laying itself out in my mind. What if the dear, sweet fiancé was tired of hubby? What if she had done the before and after moon killings, then set up her sweetkins to take the fall for her? She could get rid of MacFin and Marconi's partner all in one fell swoop, leaving her and Marconi alive. Marconi could have found out about MacFin from Tara and about the weakness of his circle from Tara as well. Tara wasn't human, not even a little. She was something else, maybe a being of the never-never. Who knew how her mind worked? And then there was the group of young people Tara seemed to be in charge of. How did they fit into this? What was she using them for? I went fishing. How are Georgia and Billy, Tara? I asked, my tone conversational. She blinked. Her mouth worked for a second, and then she answered. Fine. They're well. She pressed her lips together, clearly desiring the conversation to end. I watched McFinn. His face registered confusion, and then he looked between Tara and me uneasily. He didn't know who the hell I was talking about, and she didn't seem to want to let McFinn in on what was apparently a secret. Little Miss Werewolf Shapeshifter thing, what are you plotting? I was going to press her harder when McFinn and Tara both looked up at exactly the same time, out toward the woods. I stared at them like a moron for a couple of seconds, my mind still running along the trails of thought, tracing potential lies, possibilities. Then I shook out of my brain and listened. Both of you along that way, Murphy said, from somewhere in the distance, downslope. Ron, take your three and fan out until we're even with the feds. Then we'll sweep west, up the hill. Christ, Murphy, Carmichael said. We don't owe the feds shit. If they'd have showed up on time, we'd have been out here hours ago. If we hadn't got that report about the West woman in the hotel room, we still wouldn't be here. Can it, Carmichael? Murphy snapped. Pictures of McFinn and the woman have been passed out, and you all know what Dresden looks like. Spread out and nab them. You don't even know if they're here, Carmichael protested. I'll bet you sex to donuts that they're here, Carmichael, Murphy said, her voice dripping with sweet venom. And that should tell you how certain I am. Carmichael muttered something under his breath, then growled orders to his men to fan out as Murphy had indicated. Damn it, McFinn snarled. How the hell did they know I was here? Where else would a werewolf go to hide, I snapped. Shit, how do we get out? Wind, Tara said. She and McFinn both came to their feet. Or fog. Can you do one of those again? I grimaced and shook my head. I don't think so. I'm worn out. I'll probably make a mistake that could kill someone. If you don't, Tara said, we will be captured or killed. You can't solve your problems by magic, I snapped. He's right, McFinn said quietly. We split up. The first one discovered makes a lot of noise, puts up a fight, and gives the others a chance to get away. No, I said. McFinn, you've got to stay with me. I can make a circle with some sticks and dirt if necessary, but if I'm not there, I can't hold you in when the curse takes hold later tonight. McFinn's teeth showed again. No time to argue, Mr. Dresden, he said. Indeed there is not, said Tara, and then she took off at a dead run. McFinn hissed a curse and grabbed for her as she ran, but missed. Tara flew on into the woods, rushing silently down the slope on an angle that would take her past the edge of the pursuer's line. She was noticed after only a few steps, shouts going up for three or four throats. Bitch, McFinn cursed, and he started after her. I seized his arms, my fingers clamping on his biceps hard enough to make him stop and stare at me, his green eyes fierce and wild. Split up, I said, looking back down the hill. If we're lucky, they won't even know that we were here. But Tara knows what she is doing, I said. If the police nail us, there's no way we're going to be able to hold it in tonight. We go now, and we meet at the nearest gas station to the park, all right? From down the slope came the sounds of running men, a warning call, and then a gunshot. For Tara's sake, I hope that Agent Ben wasn't down there. McFinn clenched his jaw and then ran up the slope on an angle. Down below us, there were more shouts, more shots fired, and a short, sharp cry of pain. Call me crazy, but those sounds, added to all the other things that had happened that day, were just too much for me to handle. I turned, cradling my wounded arm against me, and stumbled up the hill into a long, loping run. I kept my head down, watching my feet, only looking up often enough to make sure I didn't run into a tree, and fled.